to live into wholeness and holiness asks us to think about more than just the self. It asks us to consider what it is to form meaningful and liberating connections and community with one another. Holiness is not just about some kind of pure internal state where you never make a mistake. It's often about the dignity and the transformative love we offer to each other. In the biblical story, God's holiness, even, is never ruined or damaged by human sin. Instead, God's holiness actually transforms people into changed people, people who have become defined by belovedness rather than by judgment. That's what God's holiness does for people. And so the invitation is that we might do this for one another. This is not some kind of thing that we keep to ourselves, but that we share in an expansive way with one another, and not just with those who we like and those who are like us, but to all who carry the image of God, which is everyone. In the first century, there were these communities forming around the life and story of Jesus. You know, we call them churches. One of the early leaders of some of these churches, or at least a figure of great influence, Paul, writes a lot of letters, doesn't he? He loves a good letter. But he writes a letter to a community, a Christian community that's formed in the city of Galatia. And he's actually really, he's kind of frustrated, a bit angry, in fact, in his letter to the Galatian church, because he's heard all of these stories among them that they're getting caught up in the games of who belongs and who doesn't and why. And have you done these things? Because if you haven't done those things, then you don't get to belong. And you're not as valuable or important as us because you haven't done these things. And, you know, there's lots of arguments around law keeping and around circumcision, really kind of contextual stuff that might not relate so much to the kinds of things we have arguments about. But I think what is core and what is similar between then and now is just lots of ways of trying to establish who's better and who's not, and who's superior and who's not, and who's in and who's not. Stuff that we're still very familiar with. And in the midst of all of this, Paul says this phrase. He says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now Paul here is not pretending that those identities do not exist, but he is rejecting the idea that our differences and uniqueness would become boundaries or hierarchies or status markers or walls that would be put between one another. And so he's dealing, yes, with these really specific issues in this community, but really for him, they are just an example of this much bigger idea. He uses these big categories: race, class, gender. But he's saying here, look, this gets to the heart of what it is to be a community. And anything that we're using to create this kind of hierarchy and status, this is not an elimination of difference, but it's a refusal to use difference to say these people are superior to those people, to overcome that idea because of the story of Jesus. And so he's calling this community toward a different kind of ideal, that all are one in Christ. And so there is this invitation into some kind of egalitarian community with one another. And, you know, that still carries a lot of meaning, I think, for us now. There are still things we use to separate ourselves from one another, to try and establish who's superior or not, or who's better or not, or who has higher status or not. And maybe they're not forged in a kind of really strict class system in the way that they used to be, but they are still very much present. We're still divided and trying to say who's better by race and by gender and by culture and by socioeconomic class, by all sorts of things that just get in the way of us being for each other. And again, this is not an elimination of difference, and this is not a, hey, we're all one, so let's just all be the same. It's actually, because you never are, right? It's always just the dominant culture who gets to say, oh, we're all one, so let's all be like me. Instead, this is actually about affirming the difference and affirming those identities, but refusing to have them become hierarchy and status markers, right? And you can see all of that kind of hierarchy game and that status game playing out everywhere at the moment. People are looking for ways to blame others for their problems, looking for ways to turn this into an us versus them kind of game. And of course, like naturally, we look for similarity, right? That's how often we find a sense of commonality and of community and solidarity. And so similarity can be a really meaningful, important thing. But what Paul seems to be saying here, and what I think is an interesting idea for us, is that similarity, like finding people with whom you have some commonality, can't become or shouldn't become an excuse and a stepping stone towards exclusion, for seeing those who are not like us as outsiders. And so this statement that he makes here, this that challenges gender hierarchy, that challenges slavery and ethnic exclusion, it paves the way for an early church that, despite getting many things wrong along the way, in those first few centuries helps to undo many of the ways that the Roman Empire had separated people from one another. And, you know, in a sense, this idea of like being one, right, it results in real action in the world. It's not just a nice philosophical idea. It's the hope is that it changes the way we see and treat one another. That we're called into some kind of connectedness, into ways of justice in the world. It becomes a beautiful and challenging invitation in my everyday life. It challenges me with the question, like, how do I relate to and treat those around me? Do I see some people as less than me because of my status or relative wealth or privilege? Do I see myself as less than others? To those who have had a lot of power and privilege ripped away from them, what does it look like for them to, for us to create communities where that dignity and status is restored? And for those who have elevated themselves and seen themselves as superior, what does it look like to come into community where we're encouraged to take up humility? This is what like a justice-making kind of community starts to look like. And these are the kinds of things that early Christian communities were trying to wrestle with. And I think one of the things that church communities still must wrestle with more than they do. And so holiness, wholeness, this call into flourishing, is not just like this individualistic idea where all that matters is am I flourishing, but actually that we are want to cultivate communities where all of us flourish together, where those of us who need to be reminded of humility and to create space for others discover that as we do that, we don't lose, but we find richness and connection that we otherwise wouldn't find, and we learn things that we otherwise wouldn't learn, and we take up a posture of openness to those who are not like us. And for those who have been pushed to the edges so often, room is made at the table. In fact, the table might even be centered around them, and the whole conversation of what it is to be community together changes and shifts and becomes truly countercultural in so many ways. And I think that's what a life of wholeness and holiness is calling us into in community with one another. So we finish usually each one of these with some kind of reflective moment. And I have a benediction, which I guess is like a blessing or a prayer for you today, which I'm going to again include on the online page so that you can take it if it's helpful for you. And in some ways, this captures a whole lot of what we've talked about here over these last six reflections. And I hope it invites in some way a sense of expansiveness. So here we go. So take a moment if you need to. Just take a couple of deep breaths and in and out. Allow yourself to become present to the moment. To tune in, to be in your body, and maybe just to acknowledge you're here. There is divine goodness in the world. You're okay. And here's my benediction for you. May you come to know that God is with you and for you and in you. And may you come to know yourself too, and not just yourself as known, but yourself as loved. And that if you are loved, then you can offer yourself kindness, compassion, and grace. And may you come to see the ways we are connected to each other, our interconnections filled with the presence of the divine, that while we may be different, there is no other. And so may you come to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And may you see the ways that we are of the earth, that to be human is not a calling to be more than creation, but to be deeply connected and to help her flourish. And so may you come to accept and inhabit holiness as a gift from God, and all of your real humanness, beautiful and flawed, whole and a work in progress, all of it loved and known and embraced by a God who is good. That's my blessing for you today. Thanks for tuning in.